Show me the end of Gita, no shit. We're on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. We dedicate the learning to Zecha Nishmas, Rabbi Kitanik's brother-in-law, Moshe Elman, then. Ben? Shlomo Shapsa.
Shlomo
Shapsa, a lady. Zechreino Levracha, yeah? Let's see. I think we left off Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. I think we're in the middle of the Amud. Amar Pchei Barab, Amar Rabbi Yechon. Approximately the middle of the Amud. The Gemara is discussing here the topic of a question: is there such a din of Ein Isa Chal Al Isa? If something is already treif for one reason, then something new occurs and you should slap on another Isa. So is there such a rule that Ein Isa Chal Al Isa? The second Isa cannot be chal on top of it's already also can't be chal. So we paskin there is such a din, Ein Isa Chal Al Isa. The second Isa is not chal, and if you go ahead and you eat it, let's say it's treif. You go and you eat it, you won't get twice malchus. There are three exceptions to the rule. One exception, the Gemara keeps on talking over here, one exception to the rule is if the both Yisur Machal simultaneously. It's not that one was chal first and the second one was chal later. That you say the second Yisur is not chal. They're both chal bevasach, and so approximately bevasach, as that's what we mentioned, there's a Gemara in the Yivamis. The Gemara has, Ein Yisur Chal Al Isa doesn't only apply when it's non-kosher food and you're eating it, like our Gemara talks. He's eating chaylev, and it's an evim and achai, and it's also a trefa, triple averis. And the question is, when was the isa chaylev chal? When was the isa trefa chal? When was the isa evim and achai chal? Is it basachas? Is it bezachas? The Gemara in Yibam says, let's say a kohen is tomei and he's makriv karbonis in the beis hamikdash. He gets malchus. He violated an avera. A kohen is a balmum and he's makriv karbonis. That's not an avera. So what if the kohen was tahor, and he cuts his finger on a knife, and he becomes, the knife is tummy. So when he touches the knife, it makes him tummy. So he touches the knife, and it's so sharp, it cuts off the tip of his finger right away. So the Gemara considers that an isa basachas. He became a balmum, and he became tummy simultaneously. Before he touched the knife, he was tahor. So Tosus raises the issue there, but it's not basachas, it's not literally basachas. When he touches the knife, he just touches his finger before it cuts off the tip of the finger. He's already tummy. Then, a second later, half a second later, when it cuts off the finger, then it becomes the balmum. So Tosus says, but it's terkidei dibur of each other. It's such a short period of time in between the first isa and the second isa. That's considered an isa basacha. So there, we're not talking about a chaticha, a heftza, that's trey for one reason, and then now you slap on another isa on the object, on the chepte. We're talking a person, it's an Issa Gabra, the person is Hakoyin, he's Tomei. If he's Tomei, he's not allowed to be Makro Karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash, and if he's a Balmum, he's not allowed to be Makro Karbonis. So first, let's see, he became Tomei, and afterwards he becomes a Balmum. So it's also an issue of Ein Issa Chal Al Issa. Even though they're not, or the Gemara, we discussed the Gemara, a person does Malocha on Yom Kippur, Shulchaliyaz B'Shabbos. So the Gemara discussed, is that an, so when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, when Shabbos enters, so they both chal simultaneously, becomes Yom Kippur and Shabbos at the same time. So if you do Malocha B'meizid on Shabbos, you chayv Misa, so that's the end of the story. Chayv Misa, you can't give him a death penalty more than once. But he did Malocha B'Shabbos, Yom Kippur, Shcholis, B'Shabbos, B'Shegeg. So one who does Malocha B'Shabbos, B'meizid is chayv Kores, if there's no Hasroah. So the mezid is chayv kores, and one does malacha b'yom kippur is also chayv kores. If you do malacha b'shoigeg, if you do an aver b'shoigeg, which if you would have done it mezid, you would have been chayv kores. If you do that aver b'shoigeg, and chayv chatos. So Gemara has a whole machlokes satanaim, is he chayv double chatos? He did one malacha on yom kippur shulchaliyas b'shabbos, but he violated two isurim. So Gemara assumes that it's an isa basacha. So then the Gemara entertained the havamina. It was rejected in the end. Maybe I should always consider as if Shabbos is kvi b'kaima from sheshes mei bereshes. When the Rebbe Shalom created the world, he rei by recha lekemes yam shvi by kadosh also all the Shabbosim of liyolam vod. The Rebbe Shalom was ready mekadosh all the Shabbosim as opposed to Yom Kippur. The Bezin has to declare every month when Rish Chodesh is. So when Bezin declares that today is Rosh Hashanah Memela, the 10th day of the month will be Yom Kippur, so Yom Kippur came second. Shabbos came first 6,000 years ago, and Yom Kippur came second. The Gemara raised such a possibility. It's also not an Issa Chepzi. You're not talking about a piece of food that's treif. Right, so that was the kasha that the Achronim there, Maritz Chais quoted that kasha. The Rambam's opinion is that there's only a din of Tosefis on Yom Kippur against the Gemara. The Gemara says, you learn that from the Pasuk, it says you should start fasting on Yom Kippur, B'tisha l'chodesh me'erev. Tanuas nafshu sefem. On the 9th of Tishri. But on the 9th of Tishri is Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara learns that from that Pasuk, there's an institution of Tosefis Yom Kippur. So the Bavli and Rosh Hashanah Daftes says, you learn how to mamotzina from Yom Kippur to every Shabbos, to every Yom Tov, any Zman that has Kedushas Zman, it's a mitzvah lehosev michol al hakodesh. Somehow the Rambam has a mocker, not like the Bavli. The Rambam paskent is only Tosefis Yom Kippur, before Yom Kippur, after Lefonel, Achread, this Tosefis. In Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's no Tosefis at all. Not Menatur, not Midirabbanon, you don't have to, it's not Chal. That's why when the Shulchan Aruch quotes the opinion of the Bali HaTosfos that there is Tosefis, so Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in the Shulchan Aruch, Yesh Omrim, there is an opinion that it's a mitzvah lehosev michol hakodesh. Why is Yesh Omrim? Because he knows the Rambam disagrees, so he quotes the Tosefos' opinion as a Yesh Omrim, but the Tosefos' opinion is the main opinion, that there is a din of Tosefis on every Zman that has Kedushas Zman, on Shabbos and Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur. So the Maritz Chais asks that Kasha, why does the Amar consider Shabbos, Yom Kippur, Shecholis, B'Shabbos, and Zanisa Basachas, but there is, according to the Rambam, there is a din of Tosefis on Yom Kippur. There is no din of Tosefis on Shabbos. So Yom Kippur preceded. The Issa Yom Kippur came first. It came half an hour earlier. You had to be Moisim Echol Alakod. Some Rishonim say Tosefis is 30 minutes. Samach L'Shabbos, Samach is 30 minutes. So the Pashtus of the answer is Tosefis Yom Kippur doesn't have any Koris. Even though there is a mitzvah in Atar Lahosim Mechol Al HaKadosh, but the Gemara Sukkah learns that from Sukkim, it's an essay. Ta'anu Esnaf Shasechem, you should be Mosim Mechol Al HaKadosh, there's no Lois essay. If someone is going to do Malacha B'mezid on Yom Kippur, you get Malkus. But if he does Malacha B'mezid during this month of Tosefis Yom Kippur, he's not Chai Malkus, he's only in violation of the essay. And that's why the Gemara raises the question, maybe women should not be obligated to be Mosim Mechol Al HaKadosh in Yom Kippur, because it's a mitzvah saseh shazman groma. The Gemara says, no, we have a pasuk that even women have an obligation. Why? So the Prima Gadim and Rabbi Kivega, they say the reason why, because it's an Isser Aseh. It's not a Kiyam Aseh. Women are potter from tzitzis, from tefillin, from lulav, from sukkah, from shofar, a mitzvah saseh shazman groma, a Kiyam Aseh, a mitzvah saseh bikumi Aseh. But fasting and abstaining from Allah is an Isser Aseh. So an Isser Aseh Shazman Gram, same as Aloy Aseh Shazman Gram. The women are Muzer on that, the women are Mechuv.
Is your mocha for that Isser Aseh is the same thing as Aloy Aseh? Respect to
this Gemara.
This
Gemara learns that, despite the fact that one should have said women are exempt from Tosefis Yom Kippur, the Gemara learns that from an extra Pasle Mechuv. What is it? The Abamina would have been that it's a mitzvah saseh shazman. So what's the maskana? So not that it's an exception to the rule. The answer is because an Isser Aseh, we treat the same as a Lois Aseh. That's a question also. There are several differences between an Aseh and a Lois Aseh. So one of the differences is, let's say, in order for me to sit in the sukkah, in order for me to shake a lulav, but to wear tefillin, I have to blow in my whole life savings. I got stuck in the Philippines or Hawaii, whatever, and the only way to get tefillin today, you have to lay tefillin before the sun sets, after shake a lulav, whatever, it's a yontif. So the only way for me to get a lulav and dalet minim is to spend a fortune of money and have them FedEx a lulav, whatever. They should deliver dalet minim. How much money are you mechuyev to spend in order to fulfill a mitzvah saseh? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes a Gemara. Hamavazveis, Hamavazveis yaseh mechaymish. That's a Gemara in Ksubas Dafnun. The original Gemara means if you're giving away charity to the poor, so it doesn't make sense to give away more than 20% of your total savings. Charity begins at home. You're going to give too much shemi yayoni v'yitztarech labriya. It's going to give away too much money to tzedakah. So you yourself are going to become poor. So you have to be careful. Except I said, unless you make $1 million a year, so then you can live you can give 50% away. If you make a lot of money, you give more than, I make a lot of money, so I give much more than 20% for stock. But the normal people, they don't make so much money, so the Gemara says you're not allowed to spend more than chaymish. So the Ramah quotes this in Shulchan Aruch with respect to being obligated to shake a lulav, or to sit in sukkah, if it's going to cost you more than one fifth of your savings in order to shake a lulav, you're not mechayev to do the mitzvah saseh. So what about a mitzvah loy saseh? Let's say a person is a shem shabbos, so he's limited what job he can take. So he makes less parnasa. If I'll take a job to be mechal shabbos, I'll make much more parnasa. So how much money is a mechayev to lose in order to be a shem shabbos? Let's say he'll be a shem shabbos, but he's not going to be able to make ends meet. He's going to use up his savings, because it's going to be Hashem Shabbos. So how much money does he have to spend from his savings in order to avoid violation of an Aveira? To be Hashem Shabbos and to keep kosher, it's much more expensive to eat kosher food than to eat non-kosher food. How much does he have to spend? So the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, you have to spend kol hom deisa. You have to spend all of your money up until the point of Safik Sakonis Nefoshes. Once you reach Safik Sakonis Nefoshes, then Pikach Nefesh is Decha Kolach Herkula. And then if you're going to have to spend so much money to keep kosher, to keep Shabbos, then it's pikuach nefesh is dochi and not muchiv too. So the Ramah draws a distinction between a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah sloises. When it comes to a mitzvah sloises, you have to give kol hayn beisa. You have to give your last penny not to violate any other, not only Shabbos, kashrus also. A mikveh. Many Jews in Russia, they had to spend a whole week's salary to have the wife fly to a different city to use the mikveh, otherwise they wouldn't be able to observe. There was no mikveh anywhere in the neighborhood. They had to spend a whole week's salary, a 2 week salary, in order to observe Taras HaMishpacha. Difficult times. That's the way we pass on the Shulchan Aruch. So there, Rabbi Kivega raises the possibility maybe an Isser Aseh should be treated the same as a Lois Aseh. Also, an Isser Aseh, La Baba Mechalal Aseh, basically an Isser Aseh is really like a lav. The only thing is that there's no Malkus. The Gemara says, "Lav habom mechlal asay asay and iser asay." You treat like an asay. So many achrayim say you only treat it like an asay with respect to malchus, because the rule is by malchus only such a person who gets malchus. So the Chumash says, "Arusha, it's nikras hatzarik v'shiros arusha b'hayon bin akos arusha." So who is arusha? So the Gemara says, "Arusha means." That pasuk, "V'tzdik l'tarushivus harasha," "V'hoyon bid akoyis harasha," says right next to the pasuk of "Losachsam shor b'disha." You're not allowed to muzzle an animal while it's doing work on food. If the animal has a desire to eat, you have to let the animal eat. So the Gemara says, all the Tanoim say in Chumash Dvar Midarshin Smuchim, one pasuk next to the other, we assume there's a connection. Kol haTorah you only darshan a hekesh if you have two dinim that appear in the same pasuk. In the Chumash Dvarim and Mishnah Torah, even Darshan Smuchim, if there's one pasuk next to another, we assume that there is a connection. So the Gemara says, all the Tanoim subscribe to this. They just argue on the details. Who gets Malkus? Which Rosh gets Malkus? One does an Avera that's similar to Losachsam Shabbadish. So Losachsam Shabbadish says Lo. Lo Sachsam. But the Gemara says, if it says Hishom Pen Aral, that's the equivalent of loy. But if it's a lava bomachlal asay, the Gemara says asay, it doesn't mean a lava bomachlal asay is an asay. No, lava bomachlal asay is a lav. But with respect to malchus, I treat it like an asay because it's not dumi the lav da chasima. It's not written beloshen loy or beloshen hisham et pen vial. There has to be dumi the lav da chasima.
So what about bris mila? What do you have to spend under those circumstances? That's an asay, not a lav da chasima.
Right. So Achrayim raised the possibility, a strong possibility, that Bris Mila, since there's Kores, if you don't observe Bris Mila, Pesach and Mila are the two. There are Lamed Vav Krisis Hamores Bater. That's the first Mishnah Krisis. So Mishnah says all of them are Lavim except for the two Pesach and Mila. If you don't bring a Korban Pesach, amazing. And the person doesn't. If the father doesn't mal his son, the father's not Chayv Kores. But if the child is Bar Mitzvah, and he doesn't take care of his own bris mila, then he's chayv kares. So the few achrayim point to a Tosfos and Megillah and Afchof and Mebeis that since Pesach and Mila have kares in connection, it doesn't make sense that it's just a plain mitzvah saseh. It must be that Pesach and Mila are a lav both a kiyam eseh and an iser eseh. When you perform the bris mila, you say a bracha shegisham tosa ala mila. Usually you don't say a bracha when you're doing something to avoid violation of an avera. That a person shaves with an electric shave, he doesn't say a bracha. Shekirisham tzotzvan shalom legalech betar. Or he eats kosher food, he doesn't say a bracha. Shekirisham tzotzvan shalom lecha macholas asuris. You only say a Birchas HaMitzvah if you're about to perform a Mitzvah Saseh. So you do recite a Birchas HaMitzvah when you're about to Shech the Korban Pesach and when you're about to perform the Bris Milah. So it clearly is a Kiyum Maaseh for sure. But in addition to being a Kiyum Maaseh, the fact that's what Tosfos points out on Daf Chofim and Beis HaMegillah, the fact that this chorus by Pesach HaMilah should indicate there must be that there's an Iser here too. It doesn't make sense to say a person is Chayv Kors because the failure to fulfill a Mitzvah. Must be that whenever there's an essay that has chorus, there are only two. Pesach HaMilah must be that it's both a Kiyum essay and an Iser essay. Sometimes you have a pasuk, it's only an Iser essay. Like we give the moshel, the Rambam has, Kol Tzipa Tahara Tochelu. It's a mitzvah to eat kosher chicken. What mitzvah once a day, every day? How often do you have to fulfill the mitzvah? A person wants to be a vegetarian, not interested in eating chicken. So he's mevatel the mitzvah. So the Pashto says, the Rambam didn't mean it's a mitzvah saseh to eat chicken. It means if you eat a non-kosher fowl, it's an iser aseh. And sometimes you have a posik that's only a mitzvah saseh. It's not an iser aseh. You should like tefillin. You don't like tefillin, so you fail to fulfill a mitzvah saseh. But there's no iser aseh. Sometimes you have a posik like tashbisu, ach b'yom harishon tashbisu, you should dispose of the chametz and erev Pesach. B'yom harishon means erev Pesach. So that's a kiyum asay and an iser asay. Ach, the Gemara says it's chilek. Ach, b'yom harishon tashbisa. Ach has the connotation somehow splitting the day in half. So before chatzos it's a mitzvah to destroy the chametz, and after chatzos it's an iser asay. If you eat chametz or you have chametz in your possession, you're in violation of an iser asay. So you have a lot of psukim like that. It's written as a asay and it has double connotation. It's a mitzvah asay and it's an iser asay. Like the Rambam counts, ki'ikach isha chadosha. So the Rambam says it's a mitzvah saseh to get married. So we recite the bracha shekadoshonim mitzvahs v'tzivanu al arayis. Kadosh ha'misal de'chup v'kedushin. We say it's a mitzvah to get married. And it's also, if a person has an affair with a single girl whom he's not married to, that's an isra saseh. There's a kiyum saseh to get married, and there's an isra saseh not to have an asik with a woman whom you're not married to. So again, so this daf is discussing the topic of any sechalalis.
Just to clarify regarding how much money to spend for mitzvahs, I say, so let's say I have $1 million, but my salary is $50,000 every year. So when it comes to tzedakah, we calculate 20% of the $50,000, right?
Because I already gave chomesh.
Right.
I already gave my success and my homage on the other money.
Right. So every year I make $50,000 and I give up to 20%. So now, what about for a
mitzvah saseh?
Is it 20% of the $50,000 or 20% of the $1 million that I have?
The 20% of the $1 million.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Even though we learn out one from the other?
They're really unrelated, yeah. It's really... Some are not happy with this Ramah. The Ramah quotes a Gemara that's talking about giving charity, giving tzedakah, and the reason why you shouldn't, it's improper, you're not supposed to give more than 20% for tzedakah. And charity begins at home. So the Ramah quotes out of context, and he said the same rule applies to obligation to fulfill a mitzvah saseh. It's really totally unrelated. It has nothing to do with Shemei Yoni v'itztarech labrias. Really, there are those who disagree with the Ramah. They hold you mechuyif to spend the Mishnah Berurah as that kasha. The Gemara talks about, I'm a bchor, I never had an opinion on Ben, and my son, I have a son who never had an opinion on Ben. And all I have to my name is 5 sloim. So should I give the $5 for opinion on Ben for my own opinion on Ben, or for my son's opinion on Ben? Which is more important? What do you mean? So the Mishnah Berurah asks, you're not mechuyif to give anything, because you're not yotzei the mitzvah if you give less than the 5 sloim. You're not mechuyif to give your last penny. That's the Mishnah Berurah raises an issue. He thinks that the Gemara contradicts this, the Rambam. He thinks when the Gemara would appear that you're mechuyif to give your last penny in order to fulfill a mitzvah saseh. He tainis that this rule of Hamavazel Avayas Mechemish only applies to tzedok, shouldn't apply to mitzvah saseh. And others disagree in the other direction with the Rambam. The Vilna Gaon quotes Rishonim who disagree the other direction, that it says, we have to ask, Shema Yisrael Hashem Echot, we believe in one God. V'yahavtos Hashem Elokecha, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol miyadecha. So what does it mean, v'chol nafshecha? Afilo noitelis nafshecha. You have to demonstrate your love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if someone's going to take your life. when are you mechayev to do a mitzvah, they're going to take your life, means avodah zarah. You shouldn't worship avodah zarah, even if it means you're going to lose your life. You don't say your harag v'yav on tzitzis, on tefillin, on Shabbos, you only say on avodah zarah. So then it says, b'chol miyodecha means b'chol mamoncha. You have to spend your last penny not to worship avodah zarah. But with respect to any other avera, where you're not obligated to give up your life, b'chol nafshecha for the night of nafshecha, so wouldn't it appear from the way the rabbis understood the drasha from the psukim that b'chol miyodecha, b'chol mamoncha is only by avodah zarah? By other mitzvahs leises, it should be also. You only mechuyev up until chaimish. You can be mechal Shabbos also. If by observing Shabbos you're going to make so little of parnasa that you're going to be losing one fifth of your total savings, it's going to be so expensive to be a Shem Shabbos to keep kosher, then it would appear from the way the Chachamim darshan the psukim that you only have to spend your last penny by avodah zarah, not with respect to other averus. So you have those who disagree with the Ramoa from both directions. The Mishnah Berurah is disagreeing, he's raising the issue, he wants to disagree with the Ramah, that even on other mitzvahs you have to spend, even on mitzvah sese, you have to spend your last penny. And others, the Vilna Gaon quotes the Rishonim, but disagree with the Ramah in the other direction, that by a loy sese, you're not mechuyev to give kol hom beiso, by all the other loy sese, except for Yehoreg v'al-Yav, except for Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayis and Shvichas Damim, you're only mechuyev to spend up until Chaimish. But that's the psak of the Ramah. The Ramah draws a distinction between mitzvah sese and mitzvah lo sese.
So just a follow up. So if it goes on the 1 million, then that works. So then, rather than the 50,000 that I make every year. So then, let's say it costs me $200,000 to rent tefillin. Fine, so I rent tefillin for a day. Next day, it costs me again some amount of money. Like how often if I keep on adding little by little, I'm going to lose a lot. I'm going to lose $999,000
for the year. No. If the second day, you really don't have the amount of money that you shelled out the first day. So you're not mechuyev to spend more than one-fifth of what you have left now.
Okay, I understand. But still, so even
you lose a lot of money. Yeah. You lose a lot of money.
So like per day, one-fifth per day, per month, per hour, like...
Tefillin you wear once a day.
So let's say there's another mitzvah that's more than once a day. So every time the mitzvah comes up, I need to... Okay.
Yeah. So we paskan halacha l'maaseh that there are three exceptions. We paskan there is a din of ein yisachal alisa. Not everybody agrees. The Gemara here on Kuf Gimel Amud, I was going to quote, there was a debate in the days of the Tanaim and in the days of the Amorah. Maybe there is no such thing. Maybe Isser is Chal al Isser. Maybe we'll get Malkus many times. Maybe the second Isser always is Chal on top of the first Isser. So we usually assume that not any Isser Chal al Isser. And there are three exceptions to the rule. So one exception to the rule is obvious if they're both Isser Machal b'masachas. Okay? That's obvious because the Rishonim say, Hey Minai Malkus, which one are you going to throw out? Are you going to pick arbitrarily which one is Chal, which one is not Chal? You say the second one is not chal if the first one was there already a few minutes before. But if it's all tuch de dibra of each other, then it's isad basachas. And then we pass when there are another two exceptions to the rule. So one exception to the rule is if it's an isad kailo. Let's say you have an animal while it's alive, has chalev. So the chalev in the animal is asa bachilo. Then the animal drops dead. So it becomes an avela. So you're going to say, if you eat the rest of the animal, not the chalev, then you get malchus for eating the vela. But if you eat the chalev was asur before the animal dropped dead, before it became an avela. So I should say the isa nevela is ein isa chal al isa. Nevela is not chal on top of chalev. So Gemara quotes a pasuk that it says not so. It says, I think it's a lesbic sedra, by Yikra Zayin, in Parsha Tzav. The chalev nevela, the chalev trefa yasa lachon malacha ba'ocha lo sachlu. So it says, chelev nevela, ochel lo sachlu means if you eat the chelev nevela, the mashmoy says you get twice malchus. Once for chelev, once for nevela. Why? Why don't you say the isa nevela is only chal on the rest of the animal, which was mutter. But on the chelev part, which was aser before the animal dropped dead, I should say, ein isa chal al isa. So the answer is, that's called an isa kailo. Since the isa nevela is chal on the rest of the animal, you can't say the isa nevela is not chal on the rest of the animal. It's isa chal al heter. The rest of the animal is mutar legamre. So since the isa nevela is chal on the rest of the animal, so you have to say it's chal on the chalev as well. The second Isser includes, is Kolel, Heter and Isser. So it's Migu that the second Isser of Nevel is Chal. On the Heter part, it's Chal on the Isser part as well. So that's a big Machlekes HaTanayim that we had on the previous daf. Reb Shimon doesn't believe in Kolel, and we do hold from Kolel. And Reb Shimon only holds from Kolel if the second Isser is Mochomet than the first Isser. But we paskin the Isser Kolel, Isser Chalal Isser, Isser Kolel, even if the second Isser is not Mochomet than the first Isser. And then the other exception to the rule is an Issa Moisif, if the second Isser is much more inclusive than the first Isser. Take, for example, an animal is a treifa, has a broken leg in such a way that the animal is a treifa. So a treifa is only prohibited for Jews to eat. Then I rip off a limb from the animal, so I make it into an Eid Menachai. Eid Menachai is not permissible even for non-Jews. So the second Isser of Eid Menachai, that was a consideration he had in this period. Since the second Isser of Eid Menachai applies even to Bnei Noach, so there's room to say that that's an Isser Moisif. There are more people included in the second Isser than the first Isser. First Isser Chelub is only applicable to the Jews. The second Isser applies to all Ummah Soilub. So that should be an Isser Moisif. So we paskin that there are three exceptions to the rule. The my nafkamina that ein Isser Chalal Isser. So nafkamina, let's say this: the first Isser only has Malkus, and the second Isser should have Misa. The second Isser should have Kares. First Isser has no Kares. Second Isser has Kares. So the person went ahead and he violated the Avera B'shoigig. Does he bring a Chatas or not? So if the second Isser is not Chal, there's no Kares. So it's not, you only bring a Korban Chatas if you do an Avera B'shoigig, which if you would have done the Avera B'mezid, it would have been Kares. Kosher has done a Kares, and Shigigos a Chatas. So Ein Isser Chal and Isser is relevant for Chiyav Chatas. Relevant, how many times Malkus do you get? Do you get once Malkus or twice Malkus? Do you get Misa? The second Isser is an Isser Misa. Or also an Afkamina Lahalacha, we mentioned the Chuvin and the Adib Yehuda. Let's say there's a Chayla Mesukan, and he has to eat non kosher food in order to save his life. The guy's in a concentration camp, and they give him hardly anything to eat. He's not going to eat till he die. So the little that they give him is all treif. Everything is treif, chazer. So if he eats this, there are two averas. If he eats this, there's only one avera. So the Gemara says, the last parak in Yuma, the Gemara has a klal. Whenever you have to violate an avera for the sake of pikuach nefesh, so it says, machila mosa, you give him food to eat, hakal hakal tchila. Have him violate the lesser of the two evils. He can save his life, let's say, he has to go to the hospital on Shabbos. Either he can drive the car, he can get a goy to drive the car. So if you get a goy to drive the car, Amir with Anachri is only an Isser Derabanan on Shabbos. You drive the car yourself, you assume driving a car on Shabbos is an Isser Deraisha. Driving the car on Yom Tov is probably only an Isser Derabanan. That's how Rabbi Avad Yosef writes. It's Madlikesh Moilereish Mechadosh, because you ignite the thing and it starts to burn the gas. So that's only an Isser Derabanan. But if you drive a car on Shabbos, that's Malacha Mahabar, that's Malacha Deraisa. So if you have a choice, you have to be Mechal Shabbos to save someone's life. You can either be Mechal Shabbos on a level of Deraisa, a level of Rabban, so you should do Hakal Hakal Tchilo. Or you have to eat non-kosher food to save someone's life. So if you eat this, there are two Averas. If you eat this, there's only one Avera. So save your life with doing the one Avera. Why should you save a life by doing the two Averas?
So am I better off driving myself or calling Hatzolah?
Better off driving yourself. Why should you call Hatzolah? Hatzolah, who drives Hatzolah? Jews and non-Jews. Jews drive the car. So, same thing. Why should you make a telephone call as well? Unless he's so nervous that you're going to get into a crash. That's also a consideration. A person could be so nervous, he won't be able to drive well. But if he's not nervous, if it's a situation he's not nervous, then same thing. Whether he's going to drive or the other person going to drive. So why should he be Mechal Shabbos another time to talk on the telephone? Let him just be Mechal Shabbos and drive.
Except it's like that, so they do some also like first aid kind of things that you cannot do.
Ah, okay. Okay. That's okay. Hatzolah has equipment on the van, so they can... Okay, so you have to... Okay. So then you better call Hatzolah. Okay. If every minute counts, then better call Hatzolah. Okay, each case, you got to figure out.
There are several in the Kodesh process, right?
What?
The
Gadev is Kodesh... Yeah, why is there no chatas? Because it's only Ein Bo Maisa. Hey, my mice, yeah. You only chayev, yeah. You only chayev katas. Okay. Those are chatas al viyari. It's a special kind of a chatas. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the topic that the last few dafim we're talking about Yisrael Havalis. So here I think we got last time till the middle of the Omer. The line begins with the word Aver. And then it continues right smack in the middle of Kuv Gimel Amud Aleph. Omer Abchia Bar Abba Omer Rabbi Yechon. He came from Eretz. Rabbi Yechon lived in Eretz Yisrael. Yechon Reish Lakish. So the Gemara quotes people came from Eretz Yisrael. They were telling over and Bovel what Rabbi Yechon said. So that was a whole Omer Gemara from the top line. There was Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish, and they had five different versions. They were guessing what the was a degezak. What were they fighting about? So now also it's going to be a whole discussion. We're not sure exactly what Rabbi Yechanan said, because the Talmud Bavli is written in Bavel, and they heard over from a Talmud, Om Rabchia Barabba, Om Rabbi Yechanan, he says, and name Rabbi Yechanan, Och Achelib Min HaChai Min HaTrefo. He takes a knife, and he has a live animal, and he cuts out a shtik chelib. So if you eat chelib, Yechayv Malkus. The animal happens to be a trefo, has a broken leg, has a hole in the lung or something, and the animal is a trefo, that's no halav. And it's also basa manachai. There's an isa eid manachai and there's an isa basa manachai. So chaylev is basa. To be eid manachai, you have to have an etzem and basa and git all together. Etzem, basa, git, matzam, that's called eid manachai. Basa manachai, you have to have a kazais. Eid manachai, you also need a kazais. We learned the Gemara. So over here, he violated three averis. So he quotes, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba quotes the name Rabbi Yechanan. He violated chaylev. He violated basam and achai, because the chaylev is a shtik flesh, and he violated treifa. So he quotes in the name Rabbi Yechanan chayv shtayim. He's only chayv twice malchus. Amale Rabbi Ami, so Rabbi Ami asks, what you just said doesn't make any sense. V'lei mamar shalosh. Why don't you say there should be three times malchus? He violated three averes. He violated chaylev and basam and achai and treifa. She'ani Ami shalosh. I hold there should be three. It's a case where Isa Chalalisa for some reason or another. Isa is Chalalisa. Itmanami, we have such a tradition that Rabbi Yechanan said that. Rabbi Bo came to Bovel, he said over. There were always different Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan came to Bovel and sometimes gave different versions of Rabbi Yechanan. Said at different days he said different things. Not necessarily contradicting each other. Different days he's talking about different cases. So each one of the Talmudim said over half his story. So here, Itmanami, Amar Ababo, Amar Rabbi Yechon, when Rabbi Ababo came from Meritzel to Bava, he said, Name Rabbi Yechon, Och Achel Manachai Manatrefa, Chayv Sholosh. So the Gemara presents it as if it's a machlekes Amaroyim, where the Chaylev and Trefa and Basim and Achai, whether you say, Ein Yisra Chalalisa, there are only two others, so you have all three. So, Frank Demar, but my comment for Liggy, what exactly is, what case are we talking about, and what's the Nikudas of Machlekes, where they say Yisr Chalalis? So, Demar is going to give different possibilities, we're not sure, because we're trying to reconstruct what were they talking about in Eretz Yisrael. What case is it? So, the first suggestion is, Gigon, Shenitra for Imitzias Ruba. When this behemoth was born, Behemoth is 5 years old. When the behemoth was born and it came out of the mother's body, Kozman, the uber was still inside the mother's body, could have shechted the mother, and the uber would have been muta b'achila mitam ben pekua. So even if the uber would be a trefa, and even the chaylev in the uber, even the chaylev and even the yiranosh, everything would be muta. That's a pasuk in the end of today's Sedra in Shmini. It says, Kol ba behemoth tochelu, and we learned in Perek behemam kasha, in the fourth Perek right after Eilu Trefas, was all about Ben Pekua. They say that Rabbi Weiss once asked Tana Pekina, what's a Ben Pekua? So one of the boys thought it's a name of a Tana, like Ben Azai, Ben Tana. Ben Pekua, he thought it was a holy Tana, yeah. Ben Pekua means if you shech the mother and there's an Uber inside, that's a dinner, Ben Pekua. Yeah. So the Gemara says they think the case of Bemai coming for Ligi, what are they arguing about? Whether you had three times Malkus or two times Malkus Kigon, this uber, when it was born, so Kozman was inside Rechemima, if you would have shechted the mother, there wouldn't have been an Issa Trefa, and there wouldn't have been an Issa Chela. Ben Pekua is, the Heta Ben Pekua, even if the uber inside is a trefa, and even if the chelav shabbat, even the ganash, everything is mutter. So what is the isa chelav chal when the uber is born? When the uber is born, when is the uber born? Yotza rosho or rubo, either rosho or rubo. Rosho, usually when the head comes out, so the rest is smooth sailing. The rest of the birth is going to come easily. So if yotza rosho, that's considered yolid. Or if the uber is born both by behemoth and by yodim, if the vlad is born in the other direction, instead of the head coming first, the feet come first, then it depends on yotza rubo. You say rubo kukulai. Rabbi Kivega points out on Mishnah, sometimes you have Yotza Rosho and the doctor delivering the baby sees it's not going to go. If you're going to leave, it's not smooth sailing. The baby's going to die if he leaves it by itself. So he has to cut, he has to do something. Then you don't say Yotza Rosho is considered Yolud. Yotza Rosho is considered Yolud if you see that from that point on it's smooth sailing, so it's considered Ki Yolud already. But if it's not smooth sailing, isn't it? You don't say Yotza
Rosho.
The Gemara says Yotza usually comes out from over here. So the Gemara says Rov Padachto. You don't even need Rov Harosh, just need Rova Padachas. If Rova of the forehead, Padachas the forehead, Rova the Padachas came out, it's already called Yotza Rosho. That's a Gemara in Yesh Nachal. The Rov HaPadachas is enough.
Why would it be 3 or 2? Why is it
3
and 1? If
any
are
colorless,
why aren't the 2 canceled out?
So the Gemara is going to say, what's the case where the fighting is at 3 or 2? So the Gemara is going to give different suggestions. So we might come with Ligi, what case and what's the Nakuda, what's the issue of debate? So first, the suggestion is, Kigon Shenitra for the Uber became a Trefa in its Yes Ruba simultaneous with its Leda. Mandi Amashalosh, the opinion that says that the 3 times Malka, all 3 Averis Achal, Kasavar, his opinion is, Behemah Bechaya Leivar Mehmedes, that was a Machlag Zabiecha Mishlokish that we had. We say that a live animal that's walking down the street is a bundle of Eid Menachais, it's a whole bunch of Eid Menachais, but he's saying, no, Behemah Bechaya Lav Leivar Mehmedes, it's not called Eid Menachai until you detach a limb, or Basa Menachai, till you cut something off from the live animal. Kozman, the animal is all connected, all the organs are still attached to each other. It's not basam anachai, it's not eim anachai. It's a chai, but it's not neither. So the Gemara suggests maybe they all agree. Mandi amashalosh, the opinion holds that you get 3 times malchus. Why is that? He holds that all 3 are nisa basachas. So calls mandi uber was still inside rechanimo. I could have shechted the mother and everything. The whole uber would have been muta bachila because of ben pekul with the chelav and everything. So when is the Issa Chelev, when is it considered that the Issa Chelev is Chal? When the Uber is born. Because up until the moment of Leda, up until Yotza Rosho or Rubo, there's still a chance, there's still a possibility to shech the mother, and there won't be any Issa Chelev. So the case must be, Kigon Shenitra from Itzias Rubo as it's coming up, Mandi from the mother's body. Mandi Amos Sholosh, the opinion is that you get all 3 Averis Achal, Kasav, Beim, and Bechayel, Ivar, Memeris. The moment the Vlad is born, it's a bundle of Eid Menachai. Here it's Basa Menachai. So it comes out the Issa Chelev, Issa Eivar, Issa Trefa, Vahadi Hadori Kosu. Everything is an Issa Basachas. All 3 Issur Machal simultaneously. When you have the Leda. Because the Uber was Nitrefor simultaneously with the Leda. So it became a Trefa, and it became a Basa Menachai, and it became a Chelev at the same time. Uman the Yaman, the other opinion, who's Rabbi Yechanan, who was quoted originally, Apriya Barabba quoted Rabbi Yechanan saying, you only get twice Malkus, Chayv Shtayim, Tzveimah Malkus, Kosovar, he apparently thinks, Behemah Bechaya, Lav Leivar Mehmedes. So he said, Basa Menachai is only Chal when you detach the Chela from the animal. So the moment the Vlad was born, Isa Chelev sets in, there's no longer a possibility of making it into a Ben Pekua. So from the moment of Leda on, the Issa Chelev sets in. And the animal with the Uber was Nitrefa, so it became a Trefa, and it became Chelev simultaneously. The Issa Chelev, the Issa Trefa, Ika, they're both Chal simultaneously. And he said, Eid Menachai, Lo Yossi Chayel, and Eid Menachai is only Bosa Menachai, means the Issa Bosa Menachai is Ein Issa Chal Al Issa. That only sets in, the Issa Bosa Menachai only sets in when I cut out the Chelev from the live animal. Until then, Behemah Bechaya Lav Leivar Mehmedes. It's not a bundle of walking Eid Menachai. So that was the first suggestion. That's the machlekes between Rabchia by Rabba, the name of Rabbi Yechanan, or Rabbami, or Rabbabo, the name of Rabbi Yechanan is whether Bein Mochei Olai Varma Medes or not. When is the Yisa Eiv, Basman Achai, when is it Chav? The Ibois Eima, and if you want, he can give a whole different interpretation. It's a different case and a different Nekudas HaMachlekes. Perhaps the Pshat is the following. The Kuliyama, they all agree, Rabbi Yechanan with Rabbi Ami, if Rabbi Bo in the name Rabbi Yechanan, they all agree, the Kuli Alma, Behema B'chaya, Lav Levoy Memetis. The Yisei, Menachai is not Chal until you, Bas Menachai is not Chal, until you detach the Chela from the animal. Will be Mesi, Yisei, Ever, Chayla, Yisei, Chela, Yisei, Trefa, Kome, Fligi. That what? The animal, the Uber was Nitra for at the moment of Yotzer Rosho. So the Issa Chela was Chal when it was born, because up until the Leda, it could have been Niter with the Kula Ben Pekur. So it's considered as Issa Chal al Issa purposes, we consider it as if the Chela, Issa Chela said in at the time that it was born, and it was Nitra for that time. So those two are Issa Basachas, the Issa Chela and Issa Trefa Chal Basachas, and later on, you want to slap on Eid Menachai, Abbasa Menachai. When you cut out the chelif and the animal, so that's the machlekes. Masava osicha, masava lo esicha. What's the shaila with the Eid Menachai? So that we had before Taisa explained, because Eid Menachai is also for non-Jews as well. So I should really call that an Issa Moisif. The two Issurim that I had until now, namely chelif and trefa, only apply to the Jewish people. These Eid Menachai and Bas Menachai even applies to non-Jews. So this argument is room to argue the point and say that Issa Eid Menachai can always be slapped on top of Eid Menachai Bas Menachai can always be chal on top of Trefa and Chelev because it's an Issa Moisef, it even applies to non-Jews. So that was the second suggestion. Then the Iboy is Eima, and if you want to, you can say a third suggestion. That is a what's the case? The Kuli Alma could be that all of the Amorim Rabbi Yechanan with Rabbi Ami do all agree Beim and B'chaya Loi Varma Medes that the Issa Basa Menachai, Eid Menachai is when the Uber is born. Every live animal is a bundle of Eid Menachai and Basa Menachai. So when the Uber was born, it already was Eid Menachai. And the Chela was Chal, the moment that it's no longer possible to be Nita as a Ben Pekuah. Not that it was Nitra for Imitzias Ruba, not that it became a Trefa the first second that it was born, it becomes a Trefa a year later. And that's the machlokes amoraim. Can the Issa Trefa bichal on top of the Issa Chelev and on top of the Issa Menachai? Ubimeisi Issa Trefa mechal Issa Eva kamefligi. That's machlokes Rabbi Yechanan. Meisi min sheyavo lasuye to come. Can the Issa Trefa bichal? Masava Asi Chayil. One opinion is that you get three times malchus. Does Eid Menachai Bas Menachai can bichal? No, not Eid Menachai. Because Trefa can bichal. On top of Bas Menachai and on top of Chelev, how do you know? Midid Havya Chelev. You have the pasuk in Chumash and this week's Sedra. Chelev Nevela, the Chelev Trefa Yosel Chomalocha Ba'Ochalos Achlu. What do you mean Ochalos Achlu? We already know from our previous pasuk you're not allowed to eat Chelev. So what's that? We know Nevela is also. We know Chelev is also. What do you need this whole pasuk for? No, the answer is the Amar. We have a tradition. HaTorah Omra. The pasuk means Ochalos Achlu. That if you eat chelim nevela v'chelim treif, you get tzvei mal malchus. Ochalos Achlu. That here it says Issa is chal al Issa. The Issa nevela and Issa treifa is chal on top of the Issa chelim. The Amar. We have a tradition. HaTorah Omra. This pasuk is teaching me. Ochalos Achlu. So the Poshet, the reason, based on what we learned until now, the Poshet, the reason why, is because it's an Issa Koilo. Because the Issa Nevela, the Issa Trefa is Chal on the entire animal. So you can't say it's Chal on the entire animal except for the Chelev. The second Issa is Chal on the rest. So Migu, since the second Issa is Chal on the rest of the animal, so it's Chal on top of the Chelev as well. That's Issa Chal al Issa Yide Koilo. This is Nichalal. The Chelev is included in the Issa.
Wasn't the Issa of the Basar Minachai, wasn't that already Chal way before all the others because it's part of the mother?
Okay. Meaning it should be Chal before the Chelev?
Yeah.
Before Chelev. That's an interesting question. That's a very good question. I don't know, I would guess maybe once it's born, it's like a new story. As part of the mother, it already was chal, but now it's no longer part of the mother. So that Iser, Eiv Menachai, Bas Menachai, because it's part of the mother, can no longer apply. I don't know. It's an interesting question. The Gemara does not consider it. I don't think Tosafot talks about it either. I don't know. Maybe they consider once it's born, it's like a different chepta. That's what it sounds like. So until now, the pashtus was that the ocha lo sachlu, that chelev, that's part of an animal, and the whole animal dies, or the whole animal became a trefer. You shech the trefer. If you don't shech the trefer, it's going to be an avela. If you do shech it, so it'll be an isa trefer. So we say the isa trefer is chal on top of chelev, the isa avela is chal on top of chelev, because it's an isa koilo. So somehow the Gemara here is at this. Maybe they're also working with Kerlo. I don't know. Maybe the Gemara is also working with Kerlo. So the Gemara says when the animal became a trefa later, so these are Eiv Menachai Beimem B'chay Aloi Varmemetz. So when the Uba was born, it was already a Basa Menachai. And the Chelev no longer had the possibility of being Mutami Tam Ben Pekua. So these are Chelev and these are Basa Menachai Vachal simultaneously at birth. And then the animal was nitra for later, and should really be an isekoilo. But we had the suggestion on the previous daf, according to Reb Shimon, that maybe isa chal al isa bekoilo is only if the second isa is mochomer than the first isa. So that's what they're going to discuss over here. Is it really true that the second isa is mochomer? So on the one hand, chelev is kares. So this stuff was chelev from the time the Uba was born. Then you want to slap on an Isa Nevela Trefa? Isa Nevela Trefa has no kares. Chelev has kares. So if you should hold like that opinion, that Isa Chalal Isa Yide Koilal is weak paskin, every case of Koilal, if the Isa is Chalal many chatiches, that's Chalal this one also, on the Isa, so you don't need that the second Isa should be more chomer than the first. Our Gemara is suggesting, like before, maybe only if the second Isa is more chomer. So they say, the idach, and the Gemara says, and the other opinion is that koilel doesn't apply. Echelev hu dechayel. What's the correct girsa? You say isa nevela treifas chal on top of chelev. Why? Because chelev, I would have said, like the first opinion, chelev is much machomer than nevela treifas. Chelev has karis, but on the other hand, the Gemara says chelev is huta mechlole etzal chayel. The exact same counterpart in a behemah and a chayah. Some of the animals are called behemahs, some of the animals are called chayahs. The Gemara says it depends on the shape of the horns. It's hard to determine whether any given animal is a behemah or a trefa. Yeah. So the din, whether any given animal is a behemah or a chayah. So there are a lot of differences. We learned a lot of prokem already here in Chol. So one difference is osev ezbeno, you're not allowed to shecht osev ezbon on the same day. Only applies to behemahs, doesn't apply to chayahs. And Kisei Adam only applies to Chayas and Ofas, does not apply to Behemoth. And when you shecht an animal, that's a perek we didn't do yet. You're supposed to give Zvala Chayayim V'Hakeva to the Kainim, that only applies to Behemoth. If you shecht the deer, it doesn't apply. So there are some mitzvahs that only apply to Behemoth, some mitzvahs that only apply to Chayas. A Chelev only applies to Behemoth. The exact same Chelev, the exact same counterpart, has the same nutritional value, everything is exactly the same. If the animal is a chaya, so there's no isa chelev, it's mutter legamritin. So the Gemara has a concept that an iser, that sometimes mutter, huta michlala, in a certain case, that shows that it's a weaker iser. So the Gemara says chelev, the pashta says chelev is mochamer than the veil or trefa, because chelev has kars, the veil or trefa does not have kars. But on the other hand, chelev is huta michlala, it's al chaya. And the Vela Trefa is never Huta Mechlola. It's never Muta. So maybe the only time the Torah says you have a Isa Trefa, the Trefa is Chal on top of Chelev, that Isa is Chal al Isa. Why? Because it's an Isa Koilo. The second Isa is Chal on the entire Behemah. So Migu that it's Chal on the rest of the animal, it's Chal on the Chelev as well. Maybe it's only because the first Isa that it's being Chal on is Chelev, and the Chelev is not such a strong Isa. Huta Mechlola, it's Al Chaya. But if the original Isa was a Basa Menachai, Eiv Menachai, it's never Huta Mechlola. the lahuta mechlola. Maybe you don't apply isa kailo, that the second isa should be chal. That's if you hold like that opinion that kailal is only chal, the second isa is only chal, if the second isa is mochomen than the first. Sure. So that's what the Gemara has all these ideas. We're not so convinced, and the whole time, we're not so convinced. There was one version before this Gemara, that maybe Rabbi Yochanan denies the whole din of Ein Isa Chal Al Isa. We're not so sure that there is such a din. There are Tanoim who argued it out. So there were opinions that you always say Isa Chal Al Isa. And then there were opinions Fakir. You say Ein Isa Chal Al Isa, even if it's an Isa Kailo. You still don't hold from Isa Chal Al Isa, even like the Kailo. And then an opinion only if it's the second Isa is Mohammed and the first. Then it's a question, how do you determine which is Mohammed and which?
How would you trade Kolo to Chalev?
Because Chalev is only Asa the Chalev, and the trade is Chal on the entire animal.
But why should it be? Why all of a sudden are we saying that because this part became Trefa, then it's Kolel and it takes in the Chalev? What's the logic?
When an animal breaks a leg, you don't just say the leg is a Trefa. The entire animal is a trefa when it has a hole in the lung.
That's this whole Gemara. Why can't I say no? The chalif stays chalif, and the trefa, the rest of the animal becomes trefa. But ain isa chal al isa.
No, so that's what the Gemara says as far. If the second isa was chal on the rest of the animal, so how can you say that it's not chal on top of the chalif?
Because there's already an isa on it.
Okay, so that's Reb Shimon's opinion that ain isa chal al isa, even like they kailo. He doesn't believe in kailo, and we don't accept his opinion. So the Gemara said, even he would agree, even Rav Shimon might agree, that was the possibility, if the second Isa is more chomer than the first. So the Gemara is not sure which is more chomer over here. Should I say that the Chalev is always more chomer than the Nevela Trefa? Because Chalev has chorus. Maybe I should say no, that the Nevela Trefa is never Huta Mechlolai, and Chalev is Huta Mechlolai, it's Olchaya. The exact same Chalev by Olchaya would be Muta. So that was a possibility. But we pass in Halacha that if the second Isa is Kailo, let's say a person on Yom Kippur, a Chayla Mesukan on Yom Kippur has to eat some food in order that he should stay alive. So would you recommend he should eat kosher food or trefa food? So according to Rav Shimon, recommend he should eat trefa food. Let him eat chazer, because eat chazer is only a lav. If you eat kosher food on Yom Kippur, it's an Isa Kares. So we paskin, what do you mean? If you eat chazer on Yom Kippur, there's going to be an Isa Lav and an Isa Kares. Because when Yom Kippur sets in, all the kosher food in the world becomes Asa Bachilo. And Migu that the Isa Yom Kippur is chal on all the kosher food, it's chal on the non-kosher food as well. So that's called an Isa Kailo. Reb Shimon doesn't gairis, he doesn't believe in Isa Kailo. So that was the Nori Behudas Jew. He said if the din would have been like Reb Shimon, we should have paskin that the chayla mesukan on Yom Kippur has to eat some food to stay alive. We recommend you should eat chaza. You shouldn't eat kosher food. It's going to eat. You have to eat hakal hakal tchila. You should violate the lesser of the two evils. So to eat the non-kosher food, the chazer, or to eat any non-kosher food where there's no karis, that'll be the lesser of the two evils. If you eat kosher food, it'll have an isa karis of Yom Kippur. If you eat non-kosher food, it won't have an isa karis of Yom Kippur. Because he holds any Isa Chal on Isa, even though the Isa Yom Kippur is Chal on everything, you don't say me that it's Chal on the kosher food, it's Chal on the trefa food. So we paskin do hold from Kailo. That if the second Isa is Chal on many chatiches, so migu that it's Chal on the chatiches that are heter, it's also Chal on the chatiches that are Isa. Yeah, those are the different opinions. You do hold from Kailo, you don't hold from Kailo, or sometimes you hold from Kailo. Yes, no, sometimes. So sometimes it is, if the second Isa is Mohammed and the first, then you believe in Kodal.
Is Chayav versus Behema, is it the shape of the horns, or is it horns versus antlers? Because some animals have horns. It is the same way, you know, for their whole life.
Right, so the Gemara had the different versions. The horns versus antlers, yeah. The Gemara had all of those. The Shach writes in Yerideya, that we're not bekiyim to determine when it's a chay, when it's a behema, because you have to know animals well. So we don't eat chaylev of any given chaya unless we have a tradition that this animal is a chaya. Because we're going to have to judge on our own which is a chay, which is a behema. That's problematic. So the Gemara has one version, is it depends whether it's antlers that are spread out or horns. If it's antlers, then it's a chaya. And if it's just horns, not really sticking in all directions, just plain horns, then it's a behemoth. That was one version. Then the other version is what's the shape of the horns? Even if they're not antlers, if they're horns, what's the shape of the horns? So the Shach says it's too complicated. He says in Vilna, the Shach lived in Vilna before the Chmelnytsky riots in Gzeres Tachvatat. The woman is Tachvatat was 1649. That's Tachvatat. So he ran away from Vilna at that time. But he writes, the meaning of Vilna was that they would never eat chelev of a chaya based on our deciding that the animal is a chaya. You have to have a tradition that the animal is a chaya.
So
if
you say Adam, they didn't cover the book.
I mean, you have to have a tradition that you, that it's a behemoth, that it's potter from.
I don't know.
He talks about chelev, yeah.
Can you say which ones we have a tradition for?
He does mention. It's just a one-line shach. That's a famous shach. The Chochmas Sodom also was lived in Vilna a few centuries later. Chochmas Sodom was a younger contemporary of the Vilna Gaon. He was a mechutna of the Vilna Gaon, he writes. He said a hesped when the Vilna Gaon passed away. So he quotes the shach as saying, that's not what it says in the shach, he misquotes the Shach as saying that you don't eat any animal. How do you determine whether any given animal is kosher or treif? If it's malager, mafis parasa, then you know it's kosher. The Chumash has simanim. How do you know whether a fish is kosher or treif? It has to be snapa v'kaskas. How do you know whether a bird is kosher or treif? So that's the sugyan eva treifus. There are four or five simanim to determine whether any given bird is kosher or treif. And how do you know whether any animal behemah v'chayah is kosher or treif? So it depends on malager mafris pars. So the Chochmas Sodom quotes the Shach as saying that the minig in Vilna was that you don't eat any animal, judging on your own that it's malager mafris pars, unless you have a tradition that it's a kosher animal. That's what later person said. That's not really what it says in the Shach at all. The Shach says you don't eat the chelev of any animal, assuming that it's a chaya. Chelev of a chaya is muta, chelev of a beim is osa. So what's a beim or what's a chaya? So you have to know what are antlers and what are horns and what are the shape of the horns. So it's a complicated story. So the Shach says, we're not bucky to figure out which horns indicate that it's a chaya. So to eat chelev is an issue of kores. So we don't eat chelev from a chaya unless we have a tradition that this given animal is a chaya. So the Chochmas Sodom says differently. You don't eat any animal unless you have a tradition that it's malager mafis paras. He may be misjudging. He may be making a mistake. You think that it's malager, it's just chewing gum. Malager means the food went down to the stomach, then it came back up, then it goes down again, goes back up. So there are animals where they made a mistake. There are animals where the world's experts made mistakes for many, many years. They thought a given animal, a jungle animal, was a malager. It turned out that it wasn't a malager. So that was a whole famous Asik in Eretz Yisrael. In the early years after Hakamas HaMedina, so the dairy industry, so they milk cows. They milk cows, they make cheese and so on. So they wanted to import the zebu. Zebu is an animal that the Jews used to shecht and eat in India. The religious Jews would shecht and eat in India. And in South America, there were years that the, I think maybe still now, I'm not sure, that the Medina Yisrael used to import meat. That was geschacht in Argentina. They imported meat from America also. And they would bring it to Eretz Yisrael. So sometimes they shecht zebus in Argentina also. The zebu is a cow, but it looks like a camel. It has like a hunch in the back. The back looks a little bit like a camel. So it's malagera mafis parasa. But it's like a camel that it doesn't have to drink so much. Doesn't have to drink water all the time. The camel stores up a lot of water, and that's gevaldik for the Middle East, but when it's so warm, so you always have to feed the animals water. So they wanted to import zebu. The milk tastes almost the same as cow's milk. So they wanted to import zebu into Eretz Yisrael because the climate is such that the animals keep on drinking water, so that would have made life much easier. So Rav Herzog was the chief rabbi at that time, so he was going to approve it. So the Chazon Ish, who was there from the 1930s, he came way before Hakamas HaMedina. So this is a few years after Hakamas HaMedina, the early years. So he had a correspondence with Rav Herzog. He sent him a letter that if you're going to permit zebu, we Litvaks will not be able to drink the milk. Because we are machmer, like the Chochmas Sodom,
they used to, in Lithuania, they used to follow the Chayyadim and the Chachmasadim like the Bible. Whatever he said, they followed. In other countries, they always are like in Germany, they always follow the kids of Shulchan Aruch. And because the Chayyadim was a dayan in Vilna, first he was a businessman. Then at the end of his life, they made him a dayan. His sefer, his form were written when he was a businessman. He used to travel around for his business also. At the end of his life, they made him a dayan in Vilna. So because the Chachmas Sodom writes that's the meaning in Vilna, that you don't need any animal. He claims that's what it said in the Shach. It doesn't exactly say that in the Shach. Shach talks about eating the chelev of an animal. So the Chachmas Sodom says you don't eat any animal based on your own judgment that it's malagam afis parsi. You have to have a tradition. So Rav Herzog said, no, but we do have, so the Chazanis said, we don't have a tradition on the zebu, it's a new animal, we don't have no tradition. So the Litvaks won't be able to drink the milk and won't be able to eat the flesh. So Rav Herzog said, we do have a tradition. The religious Jews who came from India say that in Altaim, in India they used to shech the zebu and they ate it. So the Chazanish said that that's not proper to rely on their tradition. It's only considered a tradition, a masorah, if you had outstanding Talmid Chachamim who paskin shaylos. And unfortunately, the Jews in India never had big rabbanim. So Rav Herzog gave in to him. He said, you're right. They never had big rabbanim. And he said, we have to. You can't use zebu because all the litvakas who follow the chayyadim all the time, they won't be able to drink the milk. So for many years, that was going on. They weren't using zebu. And then after many years of not using zebu, they announced once that this was maybe 10 years ago, maybe less than 10 years ago. Once on a Friday, all the people had their cholent all put up already, Lekavit Shabbos and Bnei Brak, and one of the butchers realized that he was selling them zebu flesh. He was selling a flesh that was imported from South America, from Argentina. In Argentina, they did shecht zebu, and they sold the flesh there at Yisrael. So they started a whole tumult that Erev Shabbos, nobody should eat the cholent because the chickens are not a problem, but the flesh, maybe zebu flesh. So they started a whole tumult. So in a half a week, the tumult died down. The whole thing, the whole issue was ended. Why? Because in the course of the year, since Hakamas HaMedina till 50 years later, the people did experiments. I don't know whether Jews or non-Jews, they were doing experiments. They were breeding zebu with cows because the zebu milk doesn't taste as good as the cow milk. Almost tastes the same. So they were breeding cows with zebu to see. They wanted to have it, the flesh should taste like flesh, and the milk should taste like milk, and it shouldn't have to drink so much water. So they came to the realization that if it's 5/8 one and 3/8 the other one, I forgot which 5/8 either 5/8 zebu or 5/8 cow, if you breed the two together, then it has the best of both worlds. The flesh tastes like cow's meat, and the milk tastes delicious, and it doesn't have to drink so much water. So if they're breeding together, that's a gemara in the first parak of Mechiras, that a kosher and a non-kosher animal cannot breed together and have ladas. So if you have a tradition, that's what the poskim assume. If you have a masorah on a cow, that the cow is kosher, and the cow can be, you can breed a cow with a zebu and have ladas, and you can figure out 5/8 this and 3/8 that. Obviously, the masorah that you have, that the cow is kosher, carries over to the zebu, because if the zebu would be a behemoth tameya, so wouldn't be able to mate and have ladas with the cow. So that was the end of the whole story. Then when they came to that realization that someone did the testing, they did the experimenting, and they can breed together. And then they said also, if you're going to be machmir not to eat the flesh, you're going to have to pass everybody's tefillin. Because they made many tefillin on the hides of these animals, many mezuzahs and tefillin. They used the hides of the animal. You have to use or behemoth tameah. If you use or behemoth tameah, the hide from a non-kosher animal, the right tefillin and mezuzahs on the sefer Torah is going to be possible. So he said, not only will you have to kasher all the pots, you have to passel everybody's tefillin and start all over again. So they came to the realization that in the days of the Chazanish, maybe he was right, because we had no tradition. But then after they realized that you can breed them together, so the masar and the cow carries over to the zebu as well.
It looks just like a cow. If someone's going to eat turkey, you know, thinking that it's like chicken, I mean, those two are much more different.
Right. I don't see it from here, but I remember when I saw it, but it has, it looks a little bit like the hump of a camel on the back. It looks
has,
like
it has a hump, yeah, but everything else is like a cow.
Right. That's why it can breed.
Look a lot more different.
That is correct. That is correct.
Does that interbreeding apply only to behemoths, or does it apply to chickens, for example, as well?
That's a big machlokes in Achrayim. The Chasam Sofer was mekel. Some Sofer writes, if you have a birds, it's more difficult to determine. And the Gemara in Eilat Treifus tells a story that the Amoraim came upon a new bird, and it had all the simani tahara, so they started shechting and eating the bird. And then after they were eating it, they came to the realization that they miscalculated, and it's an oif tome. So they stopped eating it. So Rashi writes, Rashi usually doesn't say halacha l'maisa, Rashi just comments, he translates. Rashi writes, you see from this Gemara that the holy Amoraim fell in, so we can also fall in, so you should never eat a bird unless you have a masora, that it's an oif tohar. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch quotes that from the Issa the Heter of the Rabbeinu Yoina. There's a Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi. He only, Rabbeinu Yoina, the Issa the Heter is quoted every page and every other page in Yoredei. They quote the Issa the Heter Ha'aruch by the Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi. So the Ramon quotes that Rashi, because Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi quotes it in the Issa the Heter. You should never eat any bird unless you have a masor. So that's, so the Chasam Sefer says, if you have a masor on one bird, and it can mate with another bird and give off the mothers, so masor on the one bird carries over to the other bird. Just like the Gemara B'chori says in Dav Zayin, that a kosher and a non-kosher animal cannot mate together by animals, so the same is true regarding birds. That's the whole issue now with the new chickens they're hacking about. Every couple of years, the people in the chicken business have to come up, breed a new chicken. I don't exactly understand why, but that's every 20, 30 years they breed a new chicken. So now there's a whole shaila whether the chickens are mutter. But the old chickens can breed with the new chickens. So the masor that we have on the old chickens carries over to the new chickens. If they can breed together, so they're all the same men, they're all kosher.
Did you say at one point that the milk from the Hema Tumeya can't be turned into cheese?
That's how they
are. So it might have been as simple as... rather than to read them,
just... Yeah, but we know there are exceptions to the rule. I think camel's milk, you can make cheese. Some non-kosher animals, the milk does lend itself to it. Not 100% always accurate. Yeah, usually it's correct, but sometimes there are exceptions to the rule.
Doesn't the Gemara say that by Achila, that the Rebbe Shalom doesn't have a takolot, or the tzaddikim, that they won't eat the non-kosher? How do you think that the chef that is burnt?
How did it happen? I don't know. The Gemara tells the story that that the Amoraim ate the non-kosher bird, then they realized that they fell in. So you're asking, how can it be? The Gemara says, the Hemtam Shal Tzadikim Ein HaKadosh Baruch Mevi Takol Al Yadam Tzadikim Atzmam Lo Kol Shekein. How can it be that the Tzadik was Nichshal, that he ate non-kosher bird? Glutikasha? I don't know. Tosis has a lot of kashas. They answer a lot of kashas. This I don't remember that Tosis has an answer on this kash. I don't know. Moira says one of the chachamim forgot and he ate before Havdalah. He says, no, eating before Havdalah, the food is kosher. Just you're not allowed to eat before Havdalah. Oh, other cases like that. Tosis answers a lot of kash. This kash is a good kash. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know. So we left off on the second line from the top of Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. Let's see. Boy Menei Reb Shlokish Me Reb Yechanan. Reb Shlokish asked, this is they're hearing a story, this is Talmud Bavli, they heard a story that there are going to be different versions on this also, who said what? Because they weren't, the Talmud Bavli wasn't written in Eretz Yisrael. They heard from travelers. What does it say here? Ki Osa Rav Dimi Omar. When Rav Dimi came from on the first line. Ki Osa Rav Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, told over the following story. What's it then you have an Eiv Ben Achai? Now Eiv Ben Achai has to be Basa Gidin Matzonis. So there's a din, let's say there's a mitzvah to eat matzah, a mitzvah to eat a kazayis matzah. You have to swallow the whole kazayis for Basa Achas. There's a mitzvah to eat a kazayis korban Pesach. So if you swallow a little bit now, a little bit later, a little bit later, from the beginning of the first kazayis till the end, the whole thing is took at the Achilas Pras in a short period of time. That's considered as if you ate it by Basa Achas. But this sheer tziruv, kedei achilas pras, like saying chaza, you only get malchus if you eat a kazayis of chaza. So let's say you eat a chatzit zayis today, chatzit zayis tomorrow. So that's too much of a pause in between. But if there was only a half a minute pause in between, and he ate from the beginning of the Achilas Kazais till the end, was less than Tokede Achilas Pras, a pras, what is a pras? A pras, if you have a full loaf of bread, so a pras is a half a loaf of bread. What's the official loaf of bread? The official loaf of bread is the Mazon Shtei Sudas. When you want to make Erevei Tchumen, you want to go Chutz L'Tchum, so you're not allowed to. So what if you want to go the Dvar Mitzvah? We learned a little bit there. If you want to go the Dvar Mitzvah, there's a Chochma is going to give a shir in another city, but the city is Chutz L'Tchum, so you want to make an Erevei Tchumen to be able to go in that direction. So you have to Erevei Tchumen Bakol Miyavin, you can use any food you want. How much food, how much of a volume of food do you have to have? So the Gemara says you have to have mazon shtei sudas. So if you're using tuna fish, how much tuna fish would you eat in two meals? If you're using pickles, how much pickles would you eat? What's normal? How much pickles would you eat in two meals? If you're eating flesh, how much flesh would you eat? And if you're eating bread, how much bread would you eat in two meals? So that's a machlokes hatanoim. How much bread is normal to eat in one meal? And then maybe you multiply by two, how much bread is normal to eat in two meals? So, Toch Kedei Achilas Pras, Pras is a half a loaf of bread. How much bread is normal to eat in one meal? So that's a machlekes in the Mishnah and Erevin. Is it three beitzim or four beitzim? The whole Mazon Shtei Sudas, is it six beitzim or is it eight beitzim? Now, what's the ratio, what's the relationship between a kazayas and a kebeitza? A kazayas is less than a kebeitza. How much? How much less than a kebeitza? So in Shulchan Aruch they quote the two opinions. One opinion is kazayas, there are two kazesim and a beitz, and one opinion there are three kazesim and a beitz. A major discrepancy. We're talking about a zayis beinani and a beitz of beinanis. So it's very hard to know what's a zayis beinani. Like tzeis ha-kachavim, when you can see gimel kachavim beinaniim, then it's tzeis ha-kacham. What's kachavim beinaniim? Intermediate size. How much is a kachav beinani is a problem. It's hard to tell. So what's a kazayis beinani? What's a beitz of beinanis? We're not sure. Okay, so there's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. There are two things that are not resolved: is a pras the volume of three beitzim or four beitzim, and also not resolved is whether a kazayis is half a beitzah or a shlish beitzah. So how much is a kazayis toked achilas pras? So let's say if there are four beitzim in a pras. Pras is the half of the big loaf of bread that you need for the Erevei Tchumen. So the half of the loaf of bread is how much bread you would eat in one meal. So if it's four beitzim and there are three kazesim in a kebeitza, so it's four times three. So if you eat your kazayis of matzah within the amount of time that you could have eaten 12 kazesim, you ate so slowly that you could have eaten normally 12 kazesim. Who eats so slowly? Who eats so slowly? You're talking in between. I'm supposed to talk. Okay, a guy's carrying on the whole conversation. So one opinion is, the most lenient opinion is, that if you eat a kazayas, there's no need to gobble down the kazayas of matzah. If you eat the kazayas within the amount of time that you could have eaten 12 kazayasin, so that's mitzdarif. That's mitzdarif that you get malchus if you're eating chazer, and yotze the mitzvah matzah if you have to eat a kazayas of matzah. And then what's the most chumradika shita? The most chumradika shita is that there are two kizesim in a beitza, and there are only three beitzim in a pras, so it's three times two is six. So if you eat your kizais within the amount of time that you could have eaten six kizais, so it's mamash a discrepancy twice as much. You eat one kizais amount of time that it would take to eat 12 kizais, and you eat a kizais amount of time that it would take to eat six kizais. But if you're just eating your matzah and you're not pausing at all, that's a kazayis tochde achilas kazayis. There's no need to rush. You got plenty of time over there. Then you have the other shittas in between. Is it three kebeitzim or four kebeitzim? Is it two kazayisim and a kebeitzim? Is it three kazayisim in a kebeitzim? So there's a din of achila tochde achilas pras is mitzdarf. If you eat one kazayis within the amount of time that you could have eaten a pras is the half a loaf of bread. Based on the pasuk in Yishai Halafrois Leroyev Lachmecha, Rashi always quotes that pasuk. Shai Anovi encourages the wealthy people. You have leftover challah, give it to the poor people. Cut off a half of the challah and give it to the ani who can't afford to have anything. Halafrois Leroyev Lachmecha. So pras is a half of the loaf of bread that you need for the Muslim Shtei Sudas for the Eruvei Tuchumen. So this din of Kazayis Tachilas Pras is relevant for mitzvahs. You want to eat a Kazayis of Matzah, you want to eat a Kazayis of Korban Pesach, you have to eat it within Tech Kedachilas Pras. And it's also relevant with respect to Malkus for eating Trefa food. You only get Malkus if you eat a Kazayis of Trefa food. You have to eat that Kazayis Tech Kedachilas Pras. Then where else is it relevant? Okay, that's about being Mitzar. That's about being Mitzar.
See? When would you say, though, Tokadei Dibur as opposed to Tokadei Yachilas Pras?
Tokadei Dibur is considered Basachas. So let's say a person makes a Kinyan and then he backs out Tokadei Dibur. So it means at the same time that we're considered the Basachas, at the same time that he made a Kinyan, he said he doesn't want the Kinyan. Even though he backed out 2 seconds later, it's considered as if he lacked das at the time that he made the Kinyan. That's Tokadei de Dibur. Tokadei Achilas Pras is a tzirf on eating food. Is it mitzdarf yachad or not? So let's say there's one opinion in the Tanoim, we don't pass, like there's one opinion, let's say you eat a ham sandwich. So the ham in the sandwich is less than a kazayis. But the bread with the ham together is a kazayis. So there's one opinion, het the mitzdarf li yisef. If altogether you're eating a kazayis of food, so you ate, you did a mais achila on the ham, because the ham was part of the kazayis. And you ate a kazayis, so it's called a shem achila. If you have less than a kazayis of ham, and that's all you're eating, just the ham, so it's the ein achila pchusim the kazayis, so you don't get malchus. It's like tickling the ham. If you ate less than a kazayis, you did like stepping on the ham, like throwing the ham. Haver is only eating, and eating is ein achila pchusim the kazayis. But if you eat a ham sandwich, even though the ham shabot, the part of the ham is less than a kazayis, but the bread together with the ham, as a kazayis, so there's one opinion in Tanem, hetem and starfleis. So the Gemara says, b'feirishim sochem, hetem and starfleis, sir. You don't say tokadei achilas pras. That's only if you're eating the sandwich together, mamish, and swallowing the bread with the ham. If I eat a little bit of ham, half a kazayis, then I finish eating the ham, then I eat a whole loaf of bread that has a kazayis, and I ate the bread tokadei achilas pras with the ham, that's not mitzdarf. Mitzdarf yachad is only ham with ham. Of matzah with matzah with matzah, or korban pesach with korban pesach. That's mitzdarf yachad, the same thing. But hetem mitzdarf liyisur, you don't say it's mitzdarf tokadei achilas pras. That's a beferish gemara in the third parak himself. Nozir is a question. Could be that hetem mitzdarf liyisur by nozir. Some tanoim distinguish between nozir because it says mishras. Mishras means shor pita bayayin. If the nozir dips his piece of challah into wine and it absorbs some of the wine. So as one Tana says in Kola Tarakula and Hetem and Starf Liyisa, puts Benozir because Mishras Anovin. Mishras means he soaks it. He was sure of Pita Bayayin. So there's one, I don't remember how we pass him, there's one Tana who distinguishes. And then by Sored Vash also, there's one Tana we pass him like that also. They say Hetem and Starf Liyisa by the Issa Sored Vash. Not all the Issa are the same. See, here's going to be a discussion in the Gemara. In order to be labeled as an Edom and Achai, you have to have Bosa Gidden Vatsamas. Then normally there's no Achila on Gidden Vatsamas. On bones, it's not Royal Achila. Gidden Rosa, ain't the Gidden Menais in Tam, it's not Royal Achila. Bosa is Bosa. So that's going to be part of the discussion here. It's a Chidish that if you eat Bosa Gidden Vatsamas, it's Chai Mishum, that's how Rashi explains, Echai Mishum, Edom and Achai. So usually when you have a Chidish, you say, Elach Ba'elach Hidushoi. So you're going to tell me, I have an Eid Menachai and I cut it in half. And first I eat the basar, and then after eating the basar, the Tokadei Achilas Pras, I'm going to eat the Gidden Vatsamas. That's like saying I eat a ham sandwich. So first I eat the ham, which is less than a gazayis. Then I eat the bread, which is kosher. I eat the kosher bread later. So the kosher bread, even we don't paskin hetem mitzdarf lisa. We hold over there, you're not loike. But even according to the Tana holds hetem mitzdarf lisa, you are loike. That's only if you're eating the ham with the bread together, mamish bevasachas together. You don't say it's mitzdarf tokadei achilas pras. So that's going to be the issue here. Does it make sense to say, it does not, he paskin does not. Does it make sense to say that the basar gid matzamas can be eaten tokadei achilas pras of each other? Or do you say, no, you have to swallow it all together. If you don't swallow it together, there's no shame achila on gidden batzamas. Only chal achila on basar. So that's going to be the next topic that the Gemara is discussing. That's going to be the next topic. Okay, we not all have to learn next week. At the end of Parsha Shmini, the Torah has all the dinim of how do you establish whether the birds are kosher, whether the animals are kosher, whether the fish are kosher. So the Torah has all of the simonim to determine. So by animals, usually the rule is if it has machis parsa, it's kosher. You have to have the two simonim. So the Torah has some animals only have malagera without machis parsa. Some animals have machis parsa without malagera. And the Torah says that it's not permissible. You have to have both. The Torah gives examples. So in Chumash Dvarim, in Parshas Re'eh, you also have much of this is repeated. The list of the 24 non-kosher birds is repeated there. And then about the malager, machis parsa is repeated over there. So there in Parshas Re'eh, the Chumash says that you're not permitted to eat es ha-shesua. What in the world is a shesua? So the Gemara says in Neva that shesua is malagera and machis parsa. What is the word shesua? Shesua means like shosa shesa, shnei prosa. Shesua means that it's split. What way is it split? So the Gemara says it has shnei gabin, shnei shedros, has two spines, and there's an empty space in between. Every human beings have, a normal person has one spine in the back. So these animals are malagera and mafis parsa, which should have meant that it's kosher, but it has, in addition to having four legs, and a nose and a mouth and everything else, and ears, has also two spines and an empty space in between. Shnei gabin and shnei shedros. So the Gemara Nida has a machlokes Rav Shmuel. Such an animal exists. Such an animal can live, can survive. What's the Chumash talking about in an animal that doesn't exist? So one opinion is, yeah, it's possible for such an animal to exist. There's such a min animal somewhere in the jungles, and it's strafe. And the other Amora says, no, such an animal cannot survive. Two spines. Shnei gabin shnei can't survive. So what is the Chumash talking about, a non-existent animal? No, Chumash is talking about a ben pekua shesua. If you shecht it, we know there's an institution of ben pekua, not the holy town of ben pekua. The ben pekua, you shecht the cow, and there's an uber inside. So the uber is nita b'shchita simo. So not only is it mutter if the uber is normal, what if the uber is a trefa? So also mutter. What if the uber is dead? What if the uber is dead? Also mutter. The Mishnah said in Perek Bayim Amkashi, Shech the mother, even though the uber is dead already, the shechit is chal on the mother, migu is chal on the mother, is chal on the uber. So what happens if the uber doesn't have malager mafris parasa? Also mutter. Also mutter. It's an abnormal. Also mutter. But what if the uber is a ben pekua shesua? So that's what the pasuk is talking about. If the uber inside, even though normally an uber is nita b'shchita simo, but if the uber is a ben pekua shesua, then it's awesome. That's how the Gemara says. So the Rishonim say we're not sure who's right, Rav Shmuel. One Amara says such an animal cannot possibly survive. So what is the pasuk talking about? An animal that doesn't exist? No, it's talking about a ben pekua shesua. Is Taka going to die? If it'll be born, it won't survive. But the pasuk is talking about ben pekua shesua. Remember when we learned Yeridaya? So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, "Don't laugh." He said he used to give the hashgacha in the slaughterhouse in Boston. He wasn't there all day and all night. He only went once a week or so, once every 2 weeks. He saw more than once a ben pekua shesua. Apparently, it's not so uncommon. A ben pekua shesua, and they can't survive. The Taka can't survive. So the Torah Tmima has a kasha on that pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. That the Rishonim say we don't know who's right, Rav Shmuel, whether such an animal can exist somewhere in the world, and the Chumash is talking about such an animal. But if it would be ben pekua shesua, it would be mutter. Well, no, we should assume such an animal cannot possibly exist, and the pasuk must be talking at a ben pekua shesua. So because we don't know who's right, so we say lechumre that it goes on ben pekua shesua. We assume such an animal cannot exist. So the Torah Tmim asked the kasha that he read in a book about the biology, such an animal exists, malager, mafis parsa, shnei gabin, shnei shedros, and it exists in the African jungles. So maybe we should reverse the psak in the Shulchan Aruch. Since such an animal does exist, when the Torah prohibits the shesua, probably goes on that animal, but if you have a ben pekua shesua, should be muta b'shchita sima. So this was a kasha for over 100 years. The world thought that that animal in the African jungles was Malagera. And then around 15, 20 years ago, they had an international conference of all the biologists, or whatever you call these mumchim, and they came to the realization the animal is not Malagera. It's always chewing, but the food doesn't go back from the stomach into the mouth. It's chewing other things, chewing chewing gum. It's chewing nashing on other food. The scientists of the world made a mistake for over 100 years. They never really studied the animal carefully. And after 100 years, over 100 years, they came to the realization that that animal that they thought was a malagera was not a malagera. So it's not so wild, not so crazy what the Chachma Sodom understood. The Shach wrote, that Shach that we mentioned before, the Shach wrote that the meaning in Vilna is that you don't eat chelim unless you have a tradition that the animal is a chaya. And you shouldn't rely on your own judging because you may make a mistake. But the Chachma Sodom quoted the Shach differently. You don't eat any animal based on Malagera Mafis Parsi. You may be making a mistake. How can you make a mistake? You can't tell what's Malagera Mafis Parsi. Yeah, all the scientists in the world made a mistake for over 100 years. They thought this animal in the African jungles, they thought that it was Malagera. The father came to realization not 15 years ago that it's not a Malagera. It's not a Malagera at all. So it's not so wild, the understanding that the Chachma Sodom wrote, that the meaning of Vilna was you don't need any animal unless you have a tradition that it's really Malagera, my first person.
Torah says also that our nevis is Malagera, but it's not.
Yeah, apparently our nevis doesn't...
Choose, but not Malagera.
Yes, apparently our nevis is not referring to...
the air that we think it is.
Yeah, it's talking about some other kind of animal. We're talking about which animal exactly is the nevis. Yeah.
Nobody ever found this animal in the jungle and dissected it and looked for multiple stomachs?
I don't know.
Isn't a high fly, if you say, take a cell from a live animal and grow it into something, to whatever it grows into? Because the original cell...
It won't be an Eber, it means Basa Menachai. Eber has to be Basa Gidmatzai. Basa Menachai.
You should apply. Should be
so,
unless it's
invisible. No, I mean, assuming it's microscopic.